Hey, this is Mike.
And this is Leo.
And welcome to the Asian Menswear Podcast, a podcast made specifically to empower, inspire, and motivate all of you guys to become the best versions of yourselves. This is for us. This is part two of the Ben Kill interview. Enjoy.
Yeah, so then when my agent said, like, I think you bought yourself a ticket to the D-League, I was like, really? You know? So Regardless, they had interest in me. They liked me. They knew my name. They obviously said, hey, the guy needs to lose a little bit more weight because, like, I was a bit out of shape at the same time. Like, that was definitely my downfall. So I ended up still going to Korea a week later. I went to a team tryout, private workout. And I remember going there with my mom, and a guy came and grabbed me that my agent set me up with. You know, he was an Adidas guy. He was like an Adidas sponsor for the team. They bring me into the gym. It's beautiful. My first time in a pro facility. And he puts me through a one-on-one workout, just shooting and like dunking and laying it up or whatever. And I actually know now that that was not supposed to happen. I think that team didn't think I was going to be anything special. So that's why none of the staff or players were there. It was just a, hey, bring this kid in because the agent like told them to, he's in Korea. Basically, they were trying to like just waste our time. It was not supposed to be anything. It was like a little BS workout. But I started dunking it, and at that time, like, no one's seen like a maybe somewhat fit Korean guy under 6 foot just jumping.
Yeah.
So that was just like a whoa thing. So I remember after the workout, he goes, you know, like, wait 1 minute. Because I can't really speak Korean. I can understand it, but I can't speak it back. So he was just like, 1 minute. And I look at my mom and I'm like, did I do good? She goes, yeah, I think you did fine. 20 minutes later, 10 old Korean guys come out. Basically the president of the team, everything. The president of the company, not even the team. So let's just say, like, for example, LG or Samsung or Kia. The owner of that company was there. I am not going to say which company, but they were there to just watch me. So I did another workout with the team. The team came in too. So I practiced and I did really well. And I remember the owner and the president talking to my mom in Korean, and they told my mom, like, your kid is very special. Like, we are so happy that he's here. So when I left that workout, that Adidas guy was blowing me up, sending me gear because, you know, they want me to be the...
How are you feeling at this time?
I'm on top of the world because I was just like, my agent's calling me.
Because you went from like, nah, you know, you're kind of sick of all the challenges. You know, like, you get to a point where if it keeps happening, I mean, like, this is probably it. So for you to change that mindset because of what's happening now, like, it must have been euphoric, right?
I was ecstatic, bro. For real. I remember my trainer texted me. I still have the message. I look at it. It's on my WhatsApp because it makes me happy because I remember walking with one of those Wi-Fi eggs, because I didn't get Wi-Fi outside of like restaurants and stuff, but I was walking, so I had this Wi-Fi. I remember seeing the text, and the text was like, Ben, you did it. You really impressed them. Like, congratulations. So I thought I was already on the team.
All right, this is KBL, so this is Korean Basketball League. And could you explain to me these leagues? Because KBL's up there, but like, could you, just for those who don't know, like, where would KBL stand amongst the CBA?
The CBA is probably the most well-known just because of, you know, Chinese culture and Chinese basketball. But Korea is definitely the next most, you know, Korea, Japan, and China are probably the most respected Asian basketball leagues in the entire world. The biggest names go there to all three. So playing in one of those leagues, that means you're kind of like an NBA player at that point, you know. I think the best part was, like, I was like, I looked at my parents. I was like, you know, this is more of a dream to me. I just wanted to play in Korea because at that time I never really went to Korea, and I got to actually like enjoy my culture, be around my culture, be around people that like appreciated my talents and stuff. And it was so cool to like have my mom there. And then like my dad's worked so hard his entire life. I was like, man, I can't wait to like just bring him here, because my dad is like a teddy bear, nicest guy. He thinks I'm in the NBA right now. Like, that's how naive he is. Like, he thinks I'm the best player in the world, but, like, I love it, you know? Like, it's great. Yeah. Like, it encourages me, but... So, I was very excited to give that back to them, but then...
Something happened.
Yeah, it just happened where, end of the day, they just asked about my passport, because I'm an American. and I'm over 18. So obviously I had to deal with like military situations and join the military and like living there. And what happened was they wouldn't allow me to have a duel, which would have changed my mind. They wanted me to forfeit my U.S. citizenship and be a full Korean. And not only that, there was a $2.1 million deal with Adidas right in front of me too. When they offered all that, they put that all in front of me.
So you just got to give up your citizenship, but here's a $2 million deal. You got the chance to play on the Korean Basketball League. Was that what they were trying to tell you?
Like, no, I wouldn't say word for word, but technically it was like, here's money.
And for context, guys, so what happened was everything was good. And then apparently last minute, there was like a rule change where you were allowed to play without being an import, I think, because your parents were Korean. But then the rule changed to where in order to keep that advantage, you had to be a citizen of Korea. So now it didn't apply to you anymore, essentially.
Yes. My agent and my lawyer at the time, they actually called it the Ben Kill effect as a joke, because the attitude started to change after I said no. Because what happened was we looked at it as in every single team in the KBL found out about me, because it was supposed to be a private workout. Once everyone found out what I was doing, who I was, and what I was capable of, I think every team wanted me at that time. So I think that's what happened was everyone wanted me. So instead of having me, let's just take him out and just put out a... Because that rule came out, like, they made that rule in, like, 2 days. It was just like... It was like a random, like, where is this? And then they made me go through the ringer after that. Now they're like, oh, yeah, come back to Korea. But you have to do a KBL tryout to make the KBL draft. So I was like, I already tried, you know, but okay. So I go to this KBL tryout, which is like the local Koreans. Like, they do this yearly thing. Maybe one person might make it. It's like an open tryout. I go into that and I go dunk on a guy the very first play. And then they're like, you know, news reporters are recording me, everything. And even the Koreans that were there, they're like, there's no way he's not getting picked. Like, he's definitely the favorite here. So I go to the KBL draft, and you do another open run in front of the teams, even though they've already pre-picked everybody.
Yeah.
I do really well there. And even the Koreans that could speak English looked at me, and they're like, congratulations, man, you know? So what happened on the KBL draft night, we all put our suits on, and we're sitting. My name never got called. And when I looked at the teams, like, after the draft, I was like, look, and they got a camera guy on me. They followed me to the end, like a documentary. And they were like, how do you feel? You know, I'm being respectful, everything. Yeah. And then you just had fans, too. I looked it on the KB Asian sites. They're like, how'd you not pick? Yeah. Like, where's this guy at? Why is he not there? Da-da-da-da-da. And a couple Korean players came up to me after who got drafted. And they're like, I can't believe you didn't get picked. I don't know why. I'm so sorry, you know? And I'm like, oh, it's fine. Maybe I'll be here next year or something. My mind's already ready to go play again. So I'm like, oh, maybe it's just this year something happened. But it ended up being a lifelong thing, man. So in a sense, I'm basically not allowed to play in my own country. And I think this is where I don't get a lot of respect in the basketball world, maybe, is I played as an American import the past 5 years. I was the first Asian American to play in FIBA Iceland and in FIBA Mongolia, FIBA Asia in general. Like an actual import. I didn't play with a passport. I didn't do any of that. Don't care what, like, if I had a passport, I would have no problem getting a job anywhere right now at the moment. I could play in any Asian country, small ones, the big ones. Like, there'd be no issues, but because of that, that's why the stigma of why can't I get a better paying job sometimes is because are you going to pick me or are you going to pick the Division One athlete that came out? You know what I mean? Like, no matter what, who are you going to pick? Like, I'm always going to lose that battle. But regardless, like, I picked up every single year in a country, and I've never been kicked off a team. I've never been sent home. And I think that speaks volumes, because a lot of people do get kicked off or sit the bench when I played a major role on every team that I was on. So...
can still play then, right? Are you completely done playing, or are you...
I'm truly letting God decide that for me right now. I mean, I do have some calls and contacts right now that are trying to make me play.
Because I know the pandemic kind of slowed things down, took that whole year
off. Oh, financially, yeah. So, but the pandemic was the biggest blessing in my life. But I would say playing-wise, I'm open to it. The problem is my goal, if I wanted to end my career, I want to play in an Asian country really, really bad. I want to just be... able to be around. I just want to be a part of the culture that I'm kind of comfortable with, man. And it's not, it wouldn't even be more about the money anymore. It's just more about, like, if I could have my dream scenario, I would love to just play in Korea, not for the social media aspect or anything. I want to play there because I just want to bring my family. My dad's never watched me play a basketball game because he's always working. My dream was to always bring him and see. I'd only let him watch me in a highlight, you know. And the fact that I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do that for him kind of hurts me. But, you know, I was trying to try and play in, like, Taiwan, where Jeremy Lin's brother's at. Like, nope, they keep asking for a passport. Everything's passport. Japan, they're open to Korean imports now, but they look at me and they're like, you need a passport. Korea, I mean, they're not even thinking twice. China, where's your passport? Even the ABO, where a lot of people play, the Southeast Asian ones, which a lot of Asian Americans play in.
So this passport thing, I mean, do you have to give up your U.S. to get their passport, or is it?
I'd have to give up my U.S. just to, and I mean, I even went to the distance of even trying to get a passport at a different country just to have one. Like, I was so desperate. I was, like, looking into, like, okay, how do I get a Japanese passport, you know, or how do I get a Taiwanese passport? Like, and there was just no way of getting around it. So, like, I even looked into the ABL, the ASEAN League, or the Southeast Asia. Like, a lot of Asian Americans playing that because as long as you have the heritage, you can go in, you know, and play there.
I had someone that I interviewed that played for the, I think it was the Bears
or something. Macau Bears.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. If it was Nelson, I know Nelson. So.
Okay. Yeah. Nelson. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. I know Nelson. So, yeah. So, like, not taking any credit from him or anyone else, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes you could play in those leagues due to heritage reasons. It's like, they won't even take me, you know? And I'm just like, I can't play here at least. I mean, like, yes, there's a lot of great Asian American playing there. Like, I can definitely fit in at least.
Yeah.
And I would never say I'm better in any way, but, like, man, I'm playing as an import here, and here. Like, they're like, well, you're not Southeast Asian. So it just kind of killed me that it doesn't matter how much I try to do, or even when I did try to use my social media as a platform, I'm just stuck because I can't provide the highlights and the films that I want because I'm not playing in the countries that do all that because I have to play as an import. I'm not going to get those jobs over a lot of big names. I can't even go to a high-level Asian country because I don't have a passport. I can't show any of that off. So, again, I'm at a point where with college where it's like I kind of quit, you know? But I'm not quitting at all because I know I'm still in shape. I only have a couple of Europe countries that are asking for me right now. But
yeah.
Would I take those? Yeah, the financials is right. But my goal is, man, I'm like begging my agent or anyone that – even has a connection or even has like a little leeway, I'm like, listen, man, my goal is just if I can go to an Asian country because not just playing for the culture, but I just genuinely want to inspire, motivate this younger generation of like, I think I have a different look in a sense of being Asian and playing basketball. I just say like, I just say that in a sense of the way I kind of carry myself and the way I kind of brand myself and the way like I take care of myself in the gym and everything. Like, I think the biggest thing is I always have Asian kids, younger ones, like, how do you, or normal people too, like other countries or cultures, they're just like, how do you stay in shape and play basketball? How do you get this big and still play? How do you jump and how do you do that? And I want to educate people like that. I do want to give them that inspo because I know there's a lot of Asian kids that'll meet me for the first time in the local gyms or when I go to LA and they see me jump and they're like, I want to be just like you, or like they want to follow me. And they're like, how are you not this person? Like, why are you not? And I'm like, I don't know. And I don't want to find validation through social media neither, which I used to try and find it through it. Yeah. But now to me, what I'm doing right now impacting my community, I'm an influencer in my own area. You know, that's how I see it. And that's the beautiful thing is I tell people, I'm like, listen, I don't have a blue badge. Not that I ever want one, but at least you know I'm human. At least you know you can contact me. At least I can give you genuine advice. And I can tell you I've been through what you're going through. And I'm more than happy to tell you or be transparent about things or help encourage you to get to the next level. Because I just tell people, if I can do it, anyone can do it. You know, I want to be the reason that, you know, a lot of people in the Asian community or even in other communities as well, like a lot of people tell them no. And I just want to be the person that says yes, you know, because I never said no to myself. So if I can say yes to you, I know that'll go a long way, because if someone said yes to me one time, my life can completely change. And that's why I love my youth travel program, man. I have a bunch of kids that played JV or sat the bench or have dreams of playing college basketball, and they didn't know where to go with it. And their parents come up to me and literally say, like, you literally made this kid go from he didn't know what he wants to now all he wants to do is play college basketball. I had kids that had not one single college look to having 4 or 5 Division I, Division II, Division III offers looks now, because I'm just saying yes to them. And I think people forget, like, the small things in that.
How much that can mean to someone.
Yeah, it's not even just for you or I. It's just for everyone. Just say yes.
Yeah, I love that you took a lot of things you learned on your own journey, right? Kind of alone, trying to figure it out. Now you're giving people the express way to do it. And one of the questions when I was researching you, I wanted to ask you, hypothetically, let's say you had a son and he had the same skills, athleticism as you, same height, whatever, and he wanted to play basketball too. How much different would his journey be than yours? Like, how would you have guided him to achieve his goals with you behind him? Would it be any different, or what do you think?
I would be there every step of the way for him, just like my mom does for me. I don't think I'd force anything on him, man. I mean, I've thought about that 100 times. I thought about it, you know, having a son, especially if he has goals and aspirations towards anything. And if it's specifically basketball, I'm going to tell him it's going to be a journey. But the very first thing I'm going to tell him, and I'm going to tell him every single day, is that I'm not going to give up on you. So if this is what you want, let's go do it. You know, and don't let anyone else tell you that you can't. You know, and that's it. Because I can proudly say, like, your daddy didn't make it to the TV, but he never said no. And he made something out of it. And I'm not going to tell you something. And I make sure that's a big thing in my life. That's why I'm okay with playing one more year. Or that's why I have a lot of passion when I coach my kids right now and train my clients. Because I'm not going to tell anything to my kid that I didn't do. I'm not going to tell my kid to go run 3 miles every morning, 6 a.m.
If
I didn't do it. I'm not going to make this guy go, you got to work out 2 hours. You got to do basketball 2 hours. You got to do this if I didn't do it. All my kids know the way I train them. There's better trainers out there, basketball trainers, weight trainers. But I'm only going to teach you what worked for me, because that's what I know. And that's all I know. I say there's other ways of being successful. But this is how I became successful. And I became successful when no one believed in me. I wasn't a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 star recruit at all. I didn't have all the schools looking at me.
Yeah.
I even quit, you know? I teach you guys that quitting is okay, because don't look at quitting as like a failure. I mean, everything is a learning process. Everything happens for a reason.
If you don't learn, it's a failure. And I want to add this in here, because this is something that kind of stuck with me. It's quoted from the NBC or your interview for them, but you said, I couldn't sleep in Korea for the next couple of days. I was just thinking to myself, why do I always come up short? But I realized how much fun and how much I enjoy the struggle and process of playing pro basketball. I knew from that point that this was the type of career I wanted. And I think what's important from that is, like, and now that I'm hearing your story more, is like, you run into these failures, but even then you still find this bright light, you know, out of it. And I think that's important. Like, even if you fail, just make sure it's not a failure unless you didn't learn anything from it. And it seems like you're always learning, and you know what I mean? And that's kind of life. Life is about failures. That's the only way you grow. That's the only way you progress.
Yeah. And, I mean, having a perfect life wouldn't be fun, man. It brings no value. Yeah. Like I said, money, if you were making $10 million a year and you can buy everything you want every single year, I'll tell you this, that Rolls Royce you just bought has no value. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the same value it hits when you actually really, like, make it the way you want. It's like you have to always compare yourself, because that's what social media does and what the world is now. It's comparing every day. You're going to have a week of highs and then you're going to have a week of lows, man. You're always going to make this much and have a great, and then someone's just doing better. Or it's like you get the pro basketball job you want, but someone got this one. Or I'm sitting back not playing in Asia, but someone else is. And it's just like, you're always going to have this comparison. And I just feel like a lot of things now is you forget to just kind of love yourself, and you gotta like give yourself your own roses. You know, make sure you give yourself credit and a pat on the back. I think the world is trying to make us work way too hard and make it seem like working nonstop is how you're going to be successful, and that's the only way to do it. You got to be hard on yourself. You can't take days off. Man, I make sure I have one day with my family every time. I make sure I have days off. I don't stress myself out, and that's when my life got so much better. Because you never know when your parents might be out of your life or the loved ones are going to be gone. You got to appreciate that, because at the end of the day, I would pick my mom, my dad, my sister, my godson, my niece, you know, all those people over money any day, you know? So.
Yeah. Beautifully said, man. And I usually ask my guests, if you're on your deathbed, what's the one piece of advice you would give someone? And I think you kind of covered that, unless you wanted to add one more thing in there just for the listeners.
I guess if I had to really give you advice, and I assume someone who's going to probably listen to this is probably someone more sports related or maybe goal driven. And I'm assuming a lot of your followers.
That's what I'm hoping all of my listeners are.
Yeah, like people are driven. I would say my biggest advice, and I tell this to everyone. So if anyone that knows me well, you know, watches, you know exactly what I'm going to say is never say no to any opportunity that relates to your goal. Never say no, because there's no opportunity that's too small or too big for you. You do everything because you love it. I wanted to play basketball. It didn't matter the opportunity. It didn't matter if it was too small or too big. I took it. Every day I had an opportunity to work out, I did it. My very first job outside of after that big Korea and Development League stint that I had and injured myself, I finally played it the first time in port. My first job was $300 a month playing. My next job was $800 a month. Then it went up to bands. Then it went up to now making a very comfortable living. And that started my career because I was not embarrassed about the money I made, because I didn't care about where I went. It's because I just genuinely wanted to play basketball and I knew this was my calling. So nothing is too big for you and nothing is too small for you, especially if it relates to your goals, you know, and watch that small opportunity turn into something big. Because the smallest opportunity that I thought was the biggest waste of my time was the reason why I got into playing professional basketball. And my next small opportunity that I paid $1,500 for was the reason that I got my very first professional basketball job. So the two situations that started my career were the two situations that I absolutely did not want to do. So that would be my biggest advice to anyone, is just don't say no, man. Just don't say no.
Let go of the ego. If it's something that you're going towards, don't say no.
Love Never that. Say no. So that just goes for you too.
What do you want to do in the next 5 years? What do you see yourself?
Ah, man. It's just a funny world, man. I would say with everything that's going on in my life, I'm still trying to kind of find my identity, to be honest with you. Because like I said, when I just booked a commercial for the Tokyo Olympics. I did something with Rui Hachimura a few weeks ago. I flew out there for a week.
That's dope,
yeah,
bro. That's
yeah, I flew out with a week ago. And when I did that and I saw the check that came in, I'm like, whoa, you know? And then I was just like,
wait, dude, is that already out?
Not that I know of. So they're supposed to send me an email on it when I do it. But it's actually a pretty cool commercial. I'll definitely shoot it to you if I ever see it or if I see
please,
it pop
man.
Up. Yeah. So I was doing that, and you know, you have so much fun doing it, and then you think like, oh, maybe this is my call. It's like life throws so many distractions, because it's like I can do commercial things. I can maybe, I just did a print job. I just did some print work for a magazine, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? But what I want to happen is, in 4 or 5 years, I want to own my own gym, like a real gym, 2 to 3 basketball courts with a weight room. And I want to create the first training facility in Michigan where it relates to a full year round development of the players, just like we do overseas, how you have fourth grade club and then eventually play on their pro team. And I want the same thing. I want to have a travel club for each age group, and I want them to grow into learning year round, like how to play as a team, team training, private training, learning about the weight room. Just because I love basketball, like that's my passion. That's where basketball is universal. You know, like I might not be able to relate to this inner city kid or this one Hispanic kid in other ways, but if we both love basketball, you're going to listen, you know, and I know how to talk to you when we talk about fitness or basketball. And it doesn't matter who you are, I could talk about forever. So that's my way of communicating, giving back to the community. So that's my goal, I guess, in 4 to 5 years. And then, you know, if all this other side stuff keep popping up, you know, I'll keep doing it. You know, like my thing is, I just don't say no to anything, because that's the fun part about life is you want to solely focus on one big thing, which is great. But I'm all about living life right now. You know, I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not really promised even by the end of the night. So why would I ever say no to maybe being on a commercial or giving it a try? Because I remember a year ago when I signed with my modeling and entertainment agent, I had a lot of people laugh at me and go, oh my God, what are you doing now? Like, you're always doing something like crazy. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Just exhaust. Like, I want to give it a try. You know, yeah. And my goal was I wanted to land a commercial in a year, and exactly on a year, I hit one, and it's only going up from there. So, nice. I mean, we'll see, but I guess that's my 5-year goal. But
yeah, that's a good way to live, man. Where can people find you, Ben? What's the, is it like best on Instagram, or we have a website?
Yeah, right now I keep everything pretty low key at the moment. I have my personal Instagram, and then I have my work page, which is kind of more in the local area. I'm very obviously easy to get to. My Instagram is bkil10, so bkil10. Yeah, bkil10. And then my work page is top1_performance. But I mean, you'll see that on my personal page too. But anyone who has questions or want to talk,
I'll put it in the show notes too, guys. You guys can find him on there. And then Ben, so I don't know if you know this, but I actually have an official Asian Menswear Discord, man. And I try to get people who have actual experience and are kind of vetted, at least through me, that know what they're talking about. We talk about like fitness, we talk about different things. And I mean, it seems like you have so much a wealth of knowledge, and there's a lot of younger guys in there. Mm-hmm. And I think what they're missing is being able to see guys like yourself, you know, being able to play basketball, being able to hang with all the top dogs. I'd love for you to hop in there, you know, just drop some knowledge once in a while, man. I think you'd be great. If you ever have time, because I know you're a busy dude, but
yeah, I mean, but I always find time, man. So obviously I'm honored to do that, and anything towards, like I said, we obviously have some mutual friends, and I'm very big on, obviously I'm very thankful for you and the other influencers as well that have given me an opportunity or a platform to at least speak my part or hopefully encourage, motivate, inspire someone. So I'm very thankful for that first and foremost. But second, I'm always open to helping the Asian community, because I mean, like I said, I didn't get the clout that I planned on at one point. And even though that might be in the past, I still know every day if you can, you know, impact or encourage or motivate someone to keep being great or to keep going, then let's do it.
All right, guys, there you have it. Thanks again, Ben, for, man, sharing the story. I think we're going to probably end up doing two parts for this, just because the stuff that you told me about, only someone who has gone through that would know, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's a lot of stories like it besides you, Jeremy Lin, a couple other guys, or at least not known on a larger scale, because all these stories are kind of hidden, right? Mm-hmm. But I love talking to you, man. I feel like we could have talked about so many different things. In the beginning, we started kind of going off on a tangent, but
yeah, that's usually what happens with people with me, man. I can, as much as I, you know, you wanted this to be about me, I can talk about everything, because I just feel like, especially in our culture, it's good to talk about it. It's good to talk it out, because, you know, you're not going to find this info on Google. You're not going to find it either on Instagram that much. This is the best way to really talk about it between amongst ourselves until it can somehow get out that way, you know? So if anything, I'm more relieved being able to speak my part and do more. So I thank you for that too.
Yeah, of course, man. But yeah, if you guys want to follow Ben, just check the show notes. And I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, man. I did. I definitely did. And I'm going to thank you one last time, Ben. Thank you so much. And other than that, guys, hope you enjoyed it. I'll talk to you guys later. Peace.